Today, Rebbez Hashem, going to continue in the seventh parak of Maseches Klayim, and today we are learning Mishnayos Hey and Vav. So the last thing we learned in Mishnah David was that there was a machlokas whether a person can be osur davar sheino shelo. If a person is misakech his gefen over someone else's tavua, can you osur the other guy's tavua? So the Tanakhama said yes, you osur his tavua and you got to pay for it. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon said no, you know the makadish davar sheino shelo. You can't osur something that doesn't belong to you. So Mishnah Hey picks up on that exact point. Amar Rabbi Yossi, ma'isa be'echad shezar is karmel b'shvius. There was a story where a guy planted other seeds, other plants, in his vineyard during Shemitah year. Now, during Shemitah year, the entire vineyard is hefker. So, therefore, the entire thing does not really belong to you. So, by you planting and making kilei hakerem, you're ruining someone else's stuff, because it's hefker. Uba ma'is lefnei Rabbi Akiva. So, they asked Rabbi Akiva the shayla, va'amar, you know, the makadish tov shein shlo, and Rabbi Akiva said that you do not have the capacity to aser that something that does not belong to you. If you look in the Rav, in the Bar Tanuri, he says that's the point that it's b'shmita ain lo behem kinyan gomer. You don't really own it. Shakol hefker ve'inu chashuv kishalo. Because during shmita, everything is considered hefker, and therefore none of it is considered yours. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the Tosfos Rabbi Kiva Eger on the side of the page, points out, yes, that's true that everything is hefker during shmita, but only the peiros are hefker. Only the peiros don't belong to you. V'dafka anovim lo nesru aval hagafanim. But the actual vines themselves nesru masifu masayim. She'ein azmuros hefker, they actually become usher because they do not become hefker, they actually do belong to you, even during Shemitah year. So if they've grown, while after you've planted, it's actually usher. And that's the Rabbi Kivager is quoting the Rash Mishantz. Habs be Melecha Shlomo on the bottom of the page quotes the same exact idea from the Rashba. V're'isi la'agon Rav Pinchas Zal b'sefer k'suba l'k'suba staf pe'a meralef. And he says, but you should know, the great Gon Rav Pinchas Zal, in his sefer on Maseches K'subos and Daf Pei says that Achla Orla Dira Maskel Achla Orla Kasa Bepshitus. He says as a matter of as something that's obvious, Daf Heitzim Mutarim, that even the Eitzim are going to be mutter. So the Rabbi Kivager points out that even though the great Gon Rav Pinchas says this, Obe Mechilas Kvot Harasto Ishtamite Divrei Arash Kasa Behipuch, that Be Mechila of this great Rav Pinchas, he's going against Rishonim. The Rash says explicitly that it's going to aser the zmuros, that it's going to aser the vines. It's only not going to aser the grapes. Who is this great Rabbi Pinchas? So undoubtedly he's referring to the Hafla'a, Rav Pinchas Levi Yeshorovitz, who wrote a very famous sefer on Maseches Ksubos. He wrote the Makna on Kiddushin and the Hafla'a on Ksubos, and he's the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. He was the Rebbe of the one of the Rebbeim of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, who was Rabbi Kivager's son-in-law, incidentally, had two great Rebbeim. He had Rabbi Nosson Adler, who was his primary Rebbe, was a Kayin, and then he had his Hasidish Rebbe was the Hafla'a, Rav Pinchas Levi Yeshorovitz, who was a rabbi in Germany, even though he was a Hasidish. He was so Rabbi Kivager is quoting his son-in-law's Rebbe, the Hafla'a, from his Sefer, and he says b'mechilas kvodo, he's against the Rishonim, and therefore when we say that you don't have the capacity to aser that which is Shemitah, it only means the peros of Shemitah, but the vines themselves, you do have the capacity to aser because they do in fact belong to you. Now in the Mishnah Rishona on the bottom of the page, he raises the following problem. He says, Kosha, l'may damarin parak beiz duchulim dachmei malaf afil l'madi amarein ad mosu dover sheinu shalo, v'sheyesh l'bashut v'soser. He says, you know, the truth is, while you're not allowed to aser, you're not able to aser something that does not belong to you, if you are a part owner in that something, you do have the capacity to aser it. Same kain, v'shviyas amay eno oser. So during Shemitah, why do you not have the capacity to aser the peros? Ha peros shviyas mutarin lebailim ulkaladim avikesh lebashutvos. Isn't peros shviyas something that's jointly owned by everybody? Because anyone's allowed to take it. The bailim is also allowed to take it. So shouldn't you therefore have the capacity to aser it? So he gives two answers. Number one, he says v'yeshom de b'shviyas havkasa de malkuhu, that shviyas is something that belongs to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that it belongs to everybody. It's that it all belongs to Hashem, and Hashem allows all of us to partake of it, and we're only allowed to partake of it in a productive way. It's the Achla V'lo LaHefsid. You're not allowed to destroy Peros of Shemitah, for example. So by you planting seeds in your Kerem, you're not able to aser it because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give you the right to destroy it. He doesn't give you the ability even to destroy it. So that's answer number one, why it's considered to not belong to you, even though the Bailim is also allowed to take some of the payrus of Shavias. The other answer he says is that anyways, it's not really like a Shutfus, because by a Shutfus you have some sort of rights in it. Over here, nobody has any rights to it. It's just that anyone's allowed to take it because it's Hefker. But you can't sell it, meaning when something belongs to you, when you're a Shutuf in something, if it gets sold, you get a portion of the money. When it comes to that which is the produce in the field during Shemitah, you don't have that kind of rights to it. Now, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah tells us, continuing along the lines of the inability of a person to prohibit that which does not belong to him, Ha'anos Shazara Sakarim. If a person steals a field and he plants it, he plants seeds in a kerem. So he plants kelayim in a kerem, but the kerem didn't really belong to him. He stole it. V'yatza milafanav, and then the original owner managed to get it back. Somehow they took him to court or whatever. They arrested him. They got the land back to the original owner. Kotzra afilu b'mawet. So now you have kelayim growing there, so the original owner can harvest it and get rid of that kelayim, even on chalamawet, where you're generally not allowed to do malacha. Now the normally something that's not a davar aved, you're not allowed to do malacha, and this is not a davar aved because the ganav who planted it was trying to ask for something that doesn't belong to him, and ain't on the most of davar sheino shelo. So it's not really assering anything. So the Barturo points out, yes, but afal pikein mipnei maris ha'ayin hitiru liktzor b'moed shel yinir kimakayim klayim b'kerem. The reason we allow it is because it's maris ha'ayin. It looks like you're keeping klayim in a kerem purposely, and therefore you're allowed to uproot it, even though it didn't really become aser, because the anas has no capacity to aser something that doesn't belong to him. Says the Bar Tanura, inami imhu yare shem yosef masayim b'moed as I have a davar avud. If you're worried that it's going to grow 1/200th more of its growth, then it becomes a davar aved, and then you're allowed to do malacha, because even though the anas didn't have the right to aser it, that was when the anas was in charge. That was when the ganav was in charge, and he had the field. But now you have it back. So when, if in your possession it grows 1/200th of its growth, it's now going to be ruined and it's going to be klayim. So since that is a davar aved, you're allowed to hire workers on chalamoed in order to remove it. Rabbi Kivegar points out an obvious kasha on this. He says the Rush says the same pshat, this second pshat, that out of fear that it may grow 1/200th of its growth, and that's really going to aser it, because then you're being mekayim klayim bekerim. So Rabbi Kivegar points out it's difficult though. V'yesh la'ayin ha'im lo natu l'liktzar havi'anos v'lo mikri nichalei v'lo litzar. If we don't let you go and harvest it, then it's not, you're not being mekayim it bekerim. It's lo nichalei. And if it's lo nichalei to the bailim, then it doesn't become aser. So if the reason that you're not harvesting it is because we're telling you that it's aser for you to harvest it, so then it's not going to become kalayim because it's lo nichalei, and you're not really being mekayim the kalayim bekerim. So how can the Bar Tanura and the Rush explain that by you not harvesting it, it's becoming usher? Very difficult to understand. So anyway, the Mishnah says further, Ad kamu nosin the poelim. How much do you have to pay the poelim extra in order to get rid of it right now on chalamoed? So the Mishnah says, Ad shlish, up until 1/3. 1/3 of what? So Bar Tanura has two explanations. Number one, maybe it means up till 33% more than you would normally pay workers to do this job. But then he quotes, Ist mefarshi. Second explanation is 1/3 of the full value of all of the payrolls you have to pay. Yes, or mikan, but if it's going to cost more than that to remove this stuff from your field on chalamoid, then kotzer kadarka v'holich, then just do the regular harvesting that you're able to do on your own. You don't have to hire workers to do it. Afilu l'achar moed, even if that means that it's not going to get done until after the moed. Me'emasai hu nikra anos, the Mishnah says, now at what point is the vineyard that's stolen considered to belong to the ganav, to the extent that it's considered his and he can actually aser it, he can actually aser the produce in it? Of course, it's never really his in the sense that he's put from paying back, he's going to have to pay back the owner that he stole it from, but we're asking at what point does it become his to the extent that he has the ability to aser the produce that grows in there? So says the Mishnah, Mishe Yishka. It's from the point that people forget that it ever belonged to the original owner. When people no longer remember owner, even who the original owner was, that's when it's considered to be belonging to the anas. So to quickly review, in Mishnah Hey, we learned that someone once planted his kerem during Shemitah year, and Rabbi Akiva said, "Eino demosa dover sheino shalo," and therefore the vines are going to be mutter because they belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they don't belong to you, they're hefker. And then in Mishnah Vav, we said that if a guy is a ganav and he steals a kerem and he plants stuff in there, when the original owner gets it back, even though it's not really usur because the ganav had no right to usur that which didn't belong to him, you should hire workers to get rid of the stuff and harvest it from the field, even on Chol HaMoed, even at an increased expense of up to 1/3. But if the anas has already had the field long enough that people even forgot who the original owner is, then the produce taka becomes asur. Then it actually is considered to be shalo, it's considered to belong to the anas in a certain sense, and it's going to be asur. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Perek Zayin, Mishnah Zayin.